Hello, everyone. This is Tom Trush of RightWaySolutions.com, and welcome to the latest installment of my Marketing Mind series. These interviews are designed to provide you with easy access to some of the best marketing resources available. My goal is to give you useful ideas and valuable tools you can use immediately to attract attention, create customers, and build your business. Best of all, these recordings are absolutely free for you to use and distribute, so please feel free to pass them on to anyone who wants to enhance their promotional efforts. Now, how often have you seen an idea in action and wondered, why didn't I think of that? It happens often, right? Well, I couldn't help but think this thought several times when I first visited the website for Revzilla Motorsports, an online motorcycle gear retailer. The effort the company puts toward creating exceptional visitor experiences is impressive. And now I'm far from a motorcycle fan. In fact, just the thought of straddling several steel tubes connected to two wheels and a motor is enough to trigger nervous sweats. But I appreciate strong marketing, especially when it delivers extreme value before a sale. So I was thrilled when CEO Anthony Bucci agreed to tell me his team's strategies for lead generation and customer engagement. You'd be hard-pressed to find a small business interacting more with its prospects and customers than Revzilla. The company is active on social media with nearly 80,000 fans on Facebook alone. In addition, it's Revzilla TV, where you can watch, decide, and ride, boasts an incredible 1,758 videos, 14,789 subscribers, and close to 8 million views. During this 22-minute interview, you'll discover how you can build an audience of buyers and eager advocates, as well as how to determine what content your audience craves and what are the easiest and most effective ways to share it. Why avoiding a script when recording videos can help you create a greater bond with viewers. An easy and often ignored way to get perfect strangers and even critics to market your business and, of course, buy your products. How to use an emerging marketing medium to help prospects overcome buying anxiety. The key factor that determines if your marketing message is killing loyalty and being perceived by prospects as a waste of time. And the simplest way to connect and quickly communicate with an audience at virtually no cost that values what you do and eagerly anticipates your next interaction. So let's get started. Get started by just talking about how Revzilla got started. And since we are covering things with a marketing angle, you know, what did the business look like when you first launched? And, you know, what was your strategy behind marketing the business back then?
Sure. Oh, that's great. So the business when we launched it looked like three guys in their apartment, in their boxers, building software, as well as running a store, as well as running a motorcycle gear store. So our backstory is that we were geeks who were into bikes. And when I say geeks, I mean that in the best sense of the word. Our background's in software technology, e-commerce, and consumer brand marketing. So I have two co-founders. We're all young guys. We were doing different things in our career at that point, and we decided to roll the dice and say, you know what? We think that we can build a better mousetrap, and we think that in the industry, the motorcycle industry, which we're interested in, you know, was kind of part of our hobbies at the time. We said we don't think that somebody out there is doing as good a job as we've helped big companies do in our previous career. So, I mean, and when I say that, that's, you know, taking it a brand and creating an online experience with good technology and great service. So, I mean, our business was really hinged. The big bet on our side was, can we build the Zappos of motorcycle gear? Somewhere that instead of feeling like Amazon, which is wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and you compete on selection and shipping speed, can we say, can you do those things well, but also have it be about passion, enthusiasm, and about knowledge? And I think that, to me, that's what we've always seen as working really well in specialty retail. And I think that motorcycle gear, like fishing gear, camping gear, mountaineering gear, or anything else that's a niche, is really specialty retail, you know, where the customer interaction is driven by enthusiasm.
There's three things in there: passion, enthusiasm, and knowledge. And one of the things that I can appreciate with, you know, seeing your company online is sharing those things, the passion, enthusiasm, and knowledge, and then bringing that over to the prospect that may come there and obviously to your own customers. And I'm just kind of curious, one of the things I noticed is, like, you have a ton of videos.
Yeah,
I think it was, I looked this morning, there was a little over 1,700. Is that the primary way that you're getting out your message? And because, I mean, you watch those things, and of course you're sharing your experience, and you can see the passion and enthusiasm. And
sure.
You know, obviously you have knowledge, but can you talk a little bit about that, how you're using the videos?
Yeah, so video reinforces our message. You know, we founded the company on the core principle, which was what I just kind of described to you. And video for us is a tool to communicate that. So, you know, you look at all the branded touch points as a company from a marketing standpoint, the communication with messaging, the communication we have with customers over the phone, in the forum, on Facebook, all these different places we're really setting a tone. We thought video for us was a good medium to not only help make our brand more tangible. And it's really funny, when we started doing video 3 years ago, honestly, we started with a flip camera. We started with me because we couldn't afford to hire a model. And we said, you know what the downside is? We're Northeast guys. So we're from Philadelphia in the suburbs. We're fast-talking, high-energy, fast movers. And we said, you know what? If we seem like we're insane to the West Coast or maybe to the guys, you know, along the Mississippi, maybe we might get feedback that we need to slow it down. Or maybe they might say, you know what? These guys are just a little bit intimidating on camera. But the feedback we got, which we hoped for, which was, hey, these guys seem to know their stuff. They're obviously enthusiastic about what they're doing. And thankfully, people have said that I am likable on camera, because if they said I wasn't, I think it made me sad for a while. But we would have maybe regrouped and tried to go out and find somebody else to, you know, be the expert that's kind of the face of the company. And really what it's kind of become is, fortunately and unfortunately for me, I've become the face of our brand. So I think a lot of people associate our brand with me. So it means that if I ever really screw up badly, I can take our brand with us. And when I say that, I just mean in my public or professional persona. So, you know, you always have to be careful when you start to introduce a level of notoriety, you know, to a company. What really is the foundation being just a really complete and consistent conversation that we have with the customer, you know, past the video.
Right, right. So on those videos, and I guess just the, you know, what you share as part of your marketing overall, you know, how do you decide what your audience should know? I mean, how do you decide how to share your knowledge, what information they need?
That's a great question. So it kind of comes from two different places. It comes from the first place, which is, what do we think is noteworthy or meaningful, either positive or negative, about a product that we are having either in our lineup or it's new to us? And then it kind of comes from the second tier, which is, what are the questions we get from customers all the time? What are the different things that somebody might need to understand further before they can feel comfortable in making a $200, $300, $400, $500 investment over the internet? You know, a lot of this product you can find in your local motorcycle shop. A lot of this product is very exotic. It's from Europe, and, you know, the people that really are excited about it may have just read about it, you know, anecdotally online or in a forum, and they haven't really touched, smelled, tried it on in person. So I think for us, it's trying to create texture to the products that we carry while also trying to create a foundation of knowledge and comfort with, you know, the things that someone needs to consider before they actually select that product. And I really think that I know that's a very open-ended answer, but I think that whether you're looking at a helmet, a glove, a jacket, or even an exhaust pipe, I think that each kind of category of product or brand of product may have different foundational elements that need to be shared in each video or at a high level in some of the brand videos that we do.
Well, I mean, you guys do a great job with that. I mean, I was watching this morning on one of your videos, and, you know, typically, like, if we just mention, like, see, like, an Amazon or something, where you can see pictures of the product, and you can see it at different angles. You know, what I liked about yours, you take that to the next level. I was watching this one this morning. I think it was some type of boot, and you had, you know, showed that there's a special feature on there where, you know, once you tie the laces or the Velcro strap, you can put it in the Velcro strap, and then, you know, the laces are out of the way. You know, that kind of little stuff like that, you know, you're not going to get that from just looking at a product description on a typical retail site. So I got to compliment you on that. It was just, you know, and I'm not even a motorcycle rider, but I can appreciate it. So definitely I like how you're doing those things. The videos are great.
I appreciate it, and it's certainly been an organic process for us. I mean, we've moved through the gamut of very low budget but knowledgeable up through now at this point. You know, what we produce, I think, is polished. I think that, you know, our presentation has come a long way. The level of granularity about a product that we include, I think we've really figured out. You know, we're always trying to listen to what else we could include that's meaningful. But, yeah, there's definitely an arc there in and I think that they're depending on the product. I mean, we have certain helmets that we've shot a video that's 20 minutes long, and it's insane. People watch all 20 minutes.
Really?
And to us, we just look at it and we say, that's completely insane. I mean, you've basically watched the RevZilla TV show at that point. Or we have something that's like a $30 glove where it's a minute and a half, and it's like, hey, here's the three key things you need to know if you're really considering this, and here's how you're going to have a better chance to get the sizing right when you buy it over the Internet. So there definitely it's lots of shades of gray.
So before you step in front of the camera, do you pretty much know what you're going to say as far as, like, do you have a script, or do you kind of at this point after doing, you know, almost, you know, over 1,700 videos, is it just kind of off the cuff?
So we don't script anything. You could call me our head product expert at RevZilla. It's my job to understand and work with the product through and through. And I think our customers have looked at me to be really their advocate for what's important, meaningful, and on the cutting edge when it comes to, you know, safety technology that people really get excited about buying. So when you get into that realm and you've done enough as much as we've done, you know, in the early days, I don't think we ever scripted it. I think we always wanted it to feel like a conversation. But you can see that some of those videos, you know, what now might be a five-minute video for us, in the early days might have been 12 minutes. And that's me maybe having more of a, for lack of a better term, discombobulated journey through the information. I think what I've really strived to do recently is make things as concise as we can while getting as much in as we can without being extraneous in any of our, you know, discussion of it. So, yeah, we don't script, but I'm very well prepared before shoot day. So we've ridden in the product, spent time with the product. You know, multiple people on staff have spent time carrying the product down, kind of putting it through its paces. I think with any video, pre-production is the production. So to your point, we have to be very prepared.
Do you set aside days just for recording videos, or do you always have to have a like a system set up where pretty much any time you can get in front of the camera and record something real quick?
It's kind of both. So we shoot 1 or 2 days a week. We shoot; it's time-consuming to do, and then we can always shoot off the cuff. We used to shoot in our store, actually up until the last 6 months. Shooting in our store meant much more of a scheduled process. We had to work within store hours. We would have to close the store or try to do it after hours. Really tough to do. And then it got to the point where video, we were doing it at a volume, and we said, you know what, we need to invest in a studio. So we've kind of built a studio out now to where if we've done our homework and we understand the product and we're excited about shooting the product, we could turn the lights on, you know, mic me up and be shooting in 10 minutes. Which is really nice, but it took us a long time and a lot of investment to get there.
Okay, so now you know, take me to, you know, after you have, say, if it's a video that you just created or any type of information that you want to get out to prospects and your current customers, what's the process that you use for doing that? So once you have new content that you want to share, how do you make sure it gets in front of the right audience?
Sure. I think that I think it's a twofold approach. I think some of our videos facilitate someone who is already qualified. They already know what they're looking for, so they might stumble upon our video because they're researching a product or type of product. And I think there's other videos which we're just so flat out geeky about that we'll then share in all of our strategy. I mean, my opinion is that any marketing we do, if we're going to send it to you, whether it be on Facebook, a forum, whether it be on an email blast, or it's highlighted on our site, or we talk about it on our hold music when you call RevZilla, if that doesn't add value, and when I say value, is it on sale? Is it meaningful? Is it new? Are you learning something? If I can't add value, then it's irresponsible for me to put it in front of you because I'm wasting your time. And I think it's a very maybe next generation way, or it's kind of in this internet age of so much signal to noise that's just so out of control. I think what we've tried to do is kind of develop trust through not berating people with everything that we produce, but making sure that the most important nuggets get shared to them in the way that they choose to opt into our conversation. So like I said, forums, Facebook, social media, YouTube subscriptions, email blast on our site. I really think there are a lot of touch points, and the challenge becomes managing those in a coherent way.
One of those that you just mentioned, I'm curious to get your insight on how you use it, is email. I did notice that you have an option at the bottom of your homepage for people to opt in to receive offers and that kind of stuff. How often do you use email to communicate with your prospects and clients and customers?
Constant conversation. Email is a constant conversation, and all good internet retailers know that your email house list is worth its weight in gold. These are people who have come to your site, and they've said, I value what you do, and I want to follow the conversation, and I'm allowing you to keep me posted. So, again, it goes back to responsible marketing. As long as we can add value to the conversation, in either a general or segmented way. We talk to our customer base constantly throughout the week. So it's one or more times a week that someone might hear from us, depending on the strength of the offer sale value information that we can convey.
Early on, did you recognize that it would be such a powerful way and an essential way to communicate with your audience, or is it something that you've realized, you know, as the business has grown?
So my career in e-commerce started in the early 2000s. So previous to RevZilla, I worked with companies like Speedo, Trump, Calvin Klein, Vineyard Vines, Oneida Flatware, Spencer Gifts, L.L. Bean. So I got to work with these companies strategically in bringing their not only technology but online marketing to kind of what was the next level in the mid-2000s. So for me, I had the benefit of knowing that there were certain levers with regard to tried and true e-commerce marketing that would really work, and emails always since the inception of e-commerce, email has continued to be at the forefront of that conversation.
And do you see it going anywhere, or just continuing to get more popular?
So the challenge is relevancy. So in the last decade, we've seen open rates go down. We've seen email service providers become, you know, right now, if we send an email to somebody and they're a Gmail user and they don't open our email and they get a couple emails from us and they don't open any of them, there's a chance that Gmail on its own will start putting them in the spam folder, even if that user's never clicked spam. So the challenge for us as an e-commerce entity and as a marketer is we have to make sure – it's all about engagement now. It's not about we're emailing half a million people on Monday. It's about, you know, is it compelling enough that people are going to open the message and click through and interact with us, and are they finding value there? Because if they start looking at the conversation that might come on a regular basis as noise, not only are we being penalized with them, but now they're sending a message to the intermediary, which is anyone's email provider that has some AI to it, to potentially start diverting our emails away from them and potentially giving us kind of a lower value. So email now is a signal-to-noise challenge, but even if you rewind 10 years when everybody got less email and was much more open to opening a lot more stuff, I still think responsible marketers have viewed it from the standpoint of people have to find value in what we're doing or else we're just spamming them.
Great point. Sure, this is kind of an overall view of business and marketing. I wanted to get your idea of what's the primary mistake that you see many business owners and entrepreneurs make when they're marketing their companies?
As a whole, at a high level, and it affects everything from team to culture to hiring to presentation to marketing, all of the touch points that define the DNA of a company. When a company tricks itself into believing it can optimize for the short dollar for a short amount of time and fix it later, they have no idea how much damage they're doing to their brand perception, and ultimately their loyalty of their customer base. I really think that it's a discipline. I think that it's something that executive management through middle management at all companies, if they're going to go the route of optimizing for the longer term to align their interests with their customer, and I really hope I don't sound pompous or academic right now because it really is a base foundation of marketing. Here in the internet age, there's so many companies that think they can get in, advertise the quick hit, advertise the quick discount, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and they'll make it up on volume. I think people do themselves a grave disservice thinking that they can be the Amazon of their industry. If the Amazon model works in your industry, Amazon's going to come eat your lunch because that's what they do. They compete on efficiency and price. I think everybody else that competes in a medium that people are more excited about than consumer electronics, you know, which is what I primarily buy on Amazon, things that I just know need to be good enough. I think once you get out of that spectrum, you really have to think about how are you as a company or a brand, not just a layer in the conversation. How can you be more valuable to your consumer base than that? And I think that's the big mistake that a lot of people don't realize can be the quickest way to not either grow as a company or to have high churn rate with your customers. It's optimizing for the wrong things.
Excellent point. One thing I recognize with RevZilla and just in my first interaction with you guys online, it's very obvious from what you guys do that you are experts in your industry. And I'm sure, you know, there's a process for helping people understand that about your business. So I wanted to get your idea on how do you recommend that business owners and entrepreneurs go about establishing themselves whether it be just a person or their businesses, as a go-to source or an authority in their industry?
I think they have to realize you can't do it in a vacuum. And I think they have to realize that if they want people to think they're great, then they have to be consistently great. People always ask us what the secret sauce is. And I think I would just say that we're really consistent and we set a high bar, even at the realization that it's expensive to do so. So if you want to establish yourself as an expert in any field, I think that you just have to be consistently part of a meaningful conversation. So for us, Facebook, forums, video, product knowledge, the type of motorcyclists that we consistently hire. I think all those things have to kind of work in symphony with each other to then create. You can't go out and tell people that you're an expert. You can't go out and tell people that you have great service. Now, as a marketer, we're going to advertise that at key touch points within our funnel and within our process online. But I think the way that you really win is when people, in a lot of times, they're going to ignore a lot of that marketing. But then when it really comes down to it, dollars to donuts, they're going to interact with you. Whether they have a question, they want to place an order, they've had an issue with a return, or something goes wrong. That's how you handle those situations that allow you to influence or potentially engage an influencing customer who might also be very well connected within an industry. And then you get the credibility that grows organically and slowly and builds over time. I don't think there's a magic bullet. And the days of the internet company that builds, blows up, hockey sticks their growth, and then quick flips. You know, when it comes to specialty or retail, there are too many guys out there doing it right. I don't think those opportunities for the quick flips still exist. So I think we all have to really think about playing the long game.
You know, one of the things that I noticed about you guys, too, is from being perceived as the authority, the expert in the industry, you have your own customers doing it for you, helping establish you. It was interesting. I wrote this line down because I saw it on your About page, where it says, you can find compliments from past customers as well as some complaints by reading reviews at RevZilla at resellerratings.com. The as well as some complaints, it's like, whoa. You know, I think there's some people that look at that and be like, what, are you crazy? You know, but it seems like, you guys are being very open, and, that's much appreciated.
Yeah, I think it's a choice as a company to be transparent. I think that if people only ever see positive. And it's funny because I really love I'm such a geek myself. I love technology. I love technology. I mean, you can draw that corollary back to our gear videos. Sometimes I have to force myself to really nitpick things because I'll find a product that's just such a new cutting-edge product, and I won't talk enough about the downside. And I think it's really important from a credibility standpoint as a person, a brand, or a business that people, if you never show them that anything goes wrong, or you never allow somebody, if people think that you're micromanaging the perception of your brand to a degree that nothing negative is ever said, then I think people take what you do so well and positively with a grain of salt. I think you have to be willing to say, hey, listen, there are things that get screwed up. What you need to know is we're willing to fix them. And that's how you quickly get over the argument of, you know, being scared about showing, you know, maybe pulling your skirt up too far and showing people dirty laundry. It's like, hey, dirty laundry happens. We're just showing you that we're willing to clean it.
Yeah. Well, and no doubt, especially online, negative seems to spread a lot faster than the positive. So, I mean, if you at least address it and try not to hide it, at least, I mean, in a way, it can even work to your advantage. So, well, all right, Nancy. Well, we'll go ahead and we can wrap this up. Like I said, I know we're challenged for time, but before we end, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to give a plug for RevZilla, how to find the site, and then in case anybody has any questions, whether about RevZilla or want to get in touch with you, how that would be possible.
Sure, I love it. So I'm very findable on the internet. You can Google me, and I come up all over the place. I have to believe my wife loves that at this point. With RevZilla, you can find us at RevZilla.com. For those of you that ride bikes out there that are interested in our approach, all I can say is for better or for worse, we're very different. I think we operate as a very different type of company, and I think that there's a customer out there that appreciates what we do. So if you're curious, find out. We're very transparent. You can read all about our story, and you can find very quickly about everything that we kind of focus on, because everything I've talked about today, in one way, shape, or another, is really represented well on our site. So, people shouldn't be bashful. If they have questions, that's what we're here for. We're definitely the Sherpa of motorcycle gear. That's what we're aspiring to be.
That's awesome. Well, all right, Anthony. Well, I appreciate the time, and you know, we mentioned a few times here the transparency. I mean, you've been incredibly transparent with you know, the behind the scenes on what you've done to make RevZilla successful from a marketing perspective. I really appreciate the time.
Hey, no problem, Tom. It was great to chat with you. I'm looking forward to seeing what you spin together, and it was a lot of fun. I appreciate you being willing to reach out and chat with me.
Hey, no problem. Hello, this is Tom Trush of RightWaySolutions.com with a final tip. If you'd like more free ideas for enhancing your marketing message and building your business, please visit www.RightWaySolutions.com. That's www.RightWaySolutions.com.